Good evening, everybody. Nice to see you. Before we get into the lesson today, I wanted to take just a minute to welcome you if you're visiting with us, tell you that we're very glad you're here. I also wanted to talk about Taylor for a moment. I was thinking about, as Taylor got up this morning and thanked all of us and told us how much we mean to him and all of that, I was thinking about just how grateful I am to God for what he's done in Taylor's life. I met Taylor a number of years ago when I was in Arkansas, and he was going to school there, and he was going to be a biologist or some nonsense like that. And he was really smart and kind of nerdy and like a lot of really interesting things, not like me. And we were playing racquetball one day, and I got into a conversation with a girl about religious things. And he asked me a little bit later, he said, "How do you do that? How do you talk to people about Jesus?" And we talked a little bit about that. And for, I guess, whatever came after that, Taylor always cared about that and always tried to figure out how to do that. And I'm just so thankful that he's doing that now. I'm thankful that he moved this way, and I can't believe he lives in Duluth. I was thinking about that as we were singing that song, "Where he leads, I'll follow." Jesus is the best example about learning to love people, and if we love people, we're going to go wherever we need to go to do his work. And I'm just grateful for what God's doing in Taylor's life, and I know many others are grateful for it. But it occurs to me that we live in an exciting time and an exciting place here because God's doing that with a lot of people here. I can think of just a whole bunch of people in this crowd that if I think about where they were just a couple of years ago and now the work that they're doing for the Lord, it's just really awesome. And we serve an awesome God. And that's something to be grateful for and celebrate. And I'm just glad that you're here. So I am going to talk about getting to know Jesus again. I've been doing a series for a little while, sporadically, on getting to know Jesus. The premise of this is that being true disciples of Jesus means that we've really got to know him and listen to him and follow him actually. Not just pretend that we know him, not just guess at what he would do or think we know something about him, but really, truly know him. So we've done a number of very, I would say, practical lessons about that, where we would look at how Jesus did something, what kinds of things Jesus said, the kind of people Jesus spent time with, and then talked about how we might model ourselves after him. Today's a little bit different. It's still practical, I think, but it's different in that what we're going to do is we're going to talk about getting to know Jesus by looking at where he's from. Specifically, three ways to answer the question where he's from. Geographically, where was he from? Genealogically, where was he from? And ultimately, where was he from? And I think those three sort of studies will be helpful in and of themselves. But just for a moment, do you ever ask anybody that question? Where are you from? Is that common in your kind of conversation? It occurs to me, I do that all the time. Maybe that's why I'm interested in this study, or I thought to do it. I always ask people where they're from. Now, to be fair, I think sometimes that's just a way to talk about something, you know, and it's a way just, I guess I don't really always care where they're actually from, but it's a way to enter into a conversation. But every once in a while, when you ask somebody where they're from, you learn a whole bunch of cool things about them, don't you? If you ever ask somebody where they're from and they begin to tell you, and immediately you're intrigued by them and you want to know more, and you begin even maybe to understand some things about the way they talk or the way they are, maybe you'll find a common bond with them. But I think people are shaped, and there's a lot to learn from by looking at where people are from in a number of ways. So I think that's where this is coming from. Another reason I think this is an important question. Look at John 7. Look at John 7. And notice with me, starting around verse 40, there seemed to be a lot of confusion and a lot of questions about Jesus, specifically because of where he was from and where he wasn't from. So look here in verse 40. Some of the people, therefore, when they heard these words, were saying, "This certainly is the prophet." Others were saying, "This is the Christ." Still others were saying, "Surely the Christ is not going to come from Galilee, is he? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the descendants of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So a division occurred in the crowd because of him. Some of them wanted to seize him, but no one laid hands on him. You notice that people are trying to figure out who Jesus is. They're trying to get to know him. And some of the questions are, well, where is he from? And somebody says, well, he's from Nazareth. He's from Galilee. Well, that can't be right. The Messiah coming out of Nazareth or Galilee, doesn't make any sense. God wouldn't choose to do that. And plus, isn't there a prophecy about Bethlehem? So there's a division over this simply because people are struggling with where Jesus is from. So let's go ahead and talk about this. Let's start with thinking about where Jesus was from geographically and what we might learn from that and why God chose what he chose in regards to where Jesus would be from. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. When Jesus was born, in chapter 2, verse 1, there were some magi, however you like to say that, wise men from the east that came looking for Jesus. Where'd they go first? It says there in the first couple verses that they went to Jerusalem, and that kind of makes sense because if a king is going to be born to the Jews, it would make sense that he'd be born in Jerusalem, but he wasn't. So when they get to Jerusalem, Herod begins to interact with them, and they find out that Jesus was actually born. The prophecy said that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. Look here in verse 5. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Just for a moment, think about that prophecy and how Bethlehem was specifically addressed. And says, the prophecy says to Bethlehem, the place, "You're not the least of the leaders." They would have thought that. You know what Bethlehem was? It was a shepherd city. It was a farmer city. Do you remember what the word Bethlehem means? Bethlehem means house of bread. Anytime you see the word Beth in a name of a place, it's house of something. Beth El is the house of God. There's Beth Shemesh. I don't know what that means. But there's Beth, lots of things. And you've heard those words before. Bethlehem was the house of bread. It kind of meant that's where people in that region would go get their grain, because that's where it was raised. Well, what significance is it that Jesus was born in Bethlehem? First thing, it's important because it's a fulfillment of prophecy. That if we don't know where Jesus is from, literally in the city that he's from, he's not believable. Because one of the things God did in order to make people believe in who he was to predict where he'd be from. And he chose a city that was unlikely in some ways. But that's important. But there's another thing to say about that. Over there in John 7 in verse 42, we read that just a moment ago. It said, the people said, wasn't he, the Messiah, supposed to be from Bethlehem, which is the city of David? So there's an important reason that God had him be born in Bethlehem, and that is that that connected him to David, who was his father generations before. But David, of course, was a king. We'll talk more about David a little bit later. Do you remember 1 Samuel chapter 16? Saul was king of Israel. God was displeased with Saul, and God wants a new king, and there's a man after God's own heart that he knows about. And he sends a prophet where? Bethlehem. Was Bethlehem the city of David? Yes, because that's where David was from. Was there another city of David? The Bible talks of two cities of David. The Bethlehem city of David, but then Jerusalem was called the city of David because what did David do? David conquered Jerusalem. Bethlehem and Jerusalem are not the same city. They're apart by miles. By the way, there are certain religious books that have been written, certain people that say in their books that Jesus was born in Jerusalem. And when you challenge them about that scripture that they say is another testament of Jesus Christ, and point out that that scripture says that he was born in Jerusalem, but the Bible says he was born in Bethlehem, the answer you will get is, well, Bethlehem is a suburb of Jerusalem. It's really hard to have suburbs when there's walls around cities. It's really hard to do that. And it's really hard, actually, for a city that is completely separated by miles to be a suburb of that city. Especially when David lived in Bethlehem as a child, but who lived in Jerusalem? Was Bethlehem a suburb of Jerusalem when David was a boy? No, Jerusalem was ruled by who? Not even Jews. The Jebusites lived there. David grew up in Bethlehem looking at Mount Zion. He would see it. He would shepherd around it. And he would watch these people that owned this mountain. And someday when David grew up and became king, what did he do? He conquered Jerusalem. He took Mount Zion for himself. By the way, do you see the imagery in that? Jesus born in Bethlehem, city of David. Takes a long time to get to the city, but when he finally gets to the city, people proclaim, Hosanna, the son of David, the king is here, and he conquers Jerusalem and Zion, just like David. There's significance to all of that. I think there's other significance to this, and it's not necessarily in the Bible, but it's in the words of the Bible. Bethlehem was the house of what? Bread. Jesus always talked about being the bread of life. Jesus talked to those people in Jerusalem, the leaders, that they needed the manna from heaven. The thing that he brought them that would heal Jerusalem came from the city nearby that was the house of bread for them. And I think some of that is interesting. But I'm going to point one thing out about that. I think God choosing Jesus to be from Bethlehem and not Jerusalem shows his wisdom. Because who would have thought that? Paul tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 18 and in verse 27 that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. That God has done things in Christ and in the preaching of Christ that most people don't understand simply to show that this was not invented, this was not made up, this was not something that some human just accomplished, but God's wisdom is seen in these things. And I think it's important that we get to know Jesus by this. I'm going to add to that thought about God's wisdom by talking about the next place Jesus was from. Look in Matthew chapter 2, verse 23. After Jesus is in Bethlehem and Herod sends out a decree to kill all of the children that were born under 2 years of age,
Joseph and Mary flee to Egypt with Jesus, Matthew tells us. But then when they decide to come back, they go to Nazareth. Why? Look in verse 23. And they came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. So, why is this significant? Number one, again, it's to fulfill prophecy. If Jesus is not from Bethlehem and does not grow up in Nazareth, then we don't have a Messiah. Do you know how improbable that is? Do you know how weird it is that there would be someone who's born in Bethlehem that would grow up in Nazareth? In fact, let me show you John 1 and why I think this also is important. John 1, 46. Actually, let's start in verse 44. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. By the way, Bethsaida, house of, anybody know? Fish or fishing. And those fishermen were from the house of fishing because that's where they caught the fish. That's where people would go to get their fish. So Bethsaida. So he found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Stop there if you would. When Philip comes to Nathanael and says, "We found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth," Nathanael stopped listening. When he heard the word Nazareth, he just couldn't believe it. He just wasn't going to believe it. Because look at what Nathanael says. Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." I think that's an interesting exchange, don't you? I mean, I don't know if you can think of a way to put that into our cultural context. What's the worst place you can think of? That you'd never expect somebody godly or moral to come from. Can I just tell you that there are certain places that I go in the country, and when I go to preach there, they'll ask me where I'm from, and as soon as I say the words about where I'm from, like, their opinion of me changes. Because I say, California. And you think that might not mean something? Just for fun, tell people sometimes that that's where you're from. And see if they don't think like this. Can anything good come out of California? Well, that's kind of what's going on. Now let Nathanael answer himself. Skip down to verse 49. Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Nathanael went in just a couple of verses from saying, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" to proclaiming that this is the Son of God and the King of Israel. Why did God choose this? Again, God's wisdom. To bring something good from some place that we never would have thought he could have brought something good. And thirdly, to show that God is not a respecter of persons or places. Isn't this God's ultimate judgment on prejudice? I mean, isn't this God's way of messing up all of the sentimentality of man and all of the ways that we think things are supposed to be, and he brings somebody from a place that we just knew wouldn't produce something good? Why does God do things like this? I believe God does things like this to draw only the sincere seekers. Because there's a barrier
here. There was a barrier at that time, and there is a barrier for some who consider themselves intellectual,
that this weird wandering man from Nazareth, who came from a carpenter's home and not the home of a prince, who was born in a stable and not somewhere important, they don't understand how he could be so important. That's God's wisdom. And I think that we learn some things about Jesus in the fact that he came from these places geographically. Let me do something similar to that and talk about where Jesus is from genealogically. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. All right, this is going to be difficult because this is the section of scripture that most of us skip, but we're going to read it now. So be ready to read the part that we typically skip. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. And Obed the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David the king. David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam the father of Abijah. Abijah the father of Asa. Asa the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat the father of Joram. And Joram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. And Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Ammon. And Ammon, the father of Josiah. Josiah became the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at a time of the deportation to Babylon. After the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel was the father of Abihud, Abihud the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor was the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Achim, and Achim the father of Iliad. Iliad was the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Jacob, Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. All right. Did you learn anything about Jesus there? There's, I think, way more things to be learned in that reading and in that context than I can even touch. But let's start with this. Matthew points out that Jesus was from Abraham and David. In fact, those are the two names that he sort of repeats and sort of bookends everything with. Why? Why were Abraham and David so important? Well, a long time ago, God had found this man named Abram and had promised him some things. He promised this sonless man that a nation would come from him, that multitudes of people that could not be counted would come from him. He promised this sonless man that one day that son would have children, and their children would have children, it would become a nation, and he'd give them a land. In one of these days, God said to Abraham, a seed will come from you, through whom all the families of the earth will be blessed. You want to know something about Jesus? You need to know that he came from Abraham. I need to know that me being one of the nations of the earth that is not of the Jews can be blessed because this one is from Abraham. I'm grateful for that. He's from David also. God made a covenant with David. 2 Samuel 7, Psalm 89. So many places in Scripture that God had talked to David and made a covenant with David that through David, one day he would bring a son, and that son would be the king forever. He would rule forever. You want to understand who Jesus is, you have to understand that he came from David. That the promises made to those men centuries before were true, and those things that God said about the Son were true. He became a blessing, did he not? And he became a king. Don't we know that? Let me show you something else about the genealogy. Jesus came from Perez, Rahab, Ruth, Solomon, Manasseh, and I could add a few more names to this list. But I want you to think about these names for a minute. And in fact, it's almost like Matthew is being mean here. Did you notice in the reading that everybody that's mentioned pretty much is a man? It's the men passing on to the men, to the men. But every once in a while, Matthew will say, oh yeah, by the way, this particular son was born from this woman. And every time he says a woman's name, the Jews would have gone like this. Because they would have hated the woman. Of course, at some point in Jews' history, these would have been heroes. But who were they? Do you remember the story of Perez? Perez was the product of incest, in a sense. A father slept with his daughter-in-law because he thought she was a prostitute and that would have been fine. But he got her pregnant. It's a strange story in Genesis. Who Judah, the father of the Judah clan and eventually our Messiah, did something so terrible as this. And Jesus came from that. Rahab. Rahab was a non-Jewish prostitute who lived in the first city that Israel wanted to fight against to take the promised land. She was an enemy of God. She was a heathen. And she lived a disgusting life. And Jesus came from her. Ruth was a Moabitess, a foreigner, who weaseled her way in to the Jewish life and became the wife of Boaz when there were plenty of other good Jewish women that he could have been with. Solomon. And Matthew just has to tell us again where Solomon came from. Solomon came from the sin with Bathsheba. Bathsheba, who used to be the wife of Uriah. Don't forget that, Jews. Don't forget that this Messiah came from that union. Manasseh. King Manasseh killed children on the altar to God and to false gods. He filled Jerusalem, the Bible says, with blood from one city wall to the other city wall. He murdered children in the name of God. Jesus came from him. What do we learn? I learned that Jesus was on a mission of mercy and grace to save people just like that. I'll tell you what. I love that God did this. It gives me hope and it gives me confidence that in any of my failures and shortcomings, in any of my past, in whatever it is that I've done, that if God can bring about a Messiah from a group of people like this, then he can take a Messiah to a group of people like this, and he can help us. And finding out where Jesus came from genealogically is very important to understanding who he is. Finally, where was Jesus from ultimately? Let me say it this way. If you were to ask Jesus, where are you from, Jesus? He might have said, I'm from Bethlehem, the city of David. I'm from Nazareth, the city of my fathers. He might have said, I'm from Abraham. I'm from these people in my past. He might have said all of those things. But if you turn with me to John 7 again, I'll show you what I think Jesus would say. Matthew 7:25. So some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, "Is this not the man whom they are seeking to kill? Look, he is speaking publicly, and they are saying nothing to him. The rulers do not really know that this is the Christ, do they? However, we know where this man is from. But whenever the Christ may come, no one knows where he is from." Then Jesus cried out in the temple teaching and saying, "You both know me and know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. I know him, because I am from him, and he sent me." Jesus said that ultimately he was from God. It wasn't just that he was like every other human, born in some city somewhere, moved to another city. He was from God, and they knew it. Skip down to verse 36. What is this statement that he said? "You will seek me and will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come." Jesus, in verse 33, said, "For a little while longer, I am with you, then I go to him who sent me." Jesus' words were this: where I came from is where I'm going. Or in other words, Jesus is from heaven. Jesus was not an ordinary human being. He was God. Is that important? I mean, if you want to get to know Jesus, there's lots of people that want to get to know Jesus on some intellectual level, some philosophical level. They want to learn some cute little truth they think from him that'll help their life be better. But if you really want to know who Jesus is and you want to get to know him, you have to deal with his words here. "I came from him and I'm going to him." He either came from heaven and is in heaven, or he's a liar. But I believe that Jesus was telling the truth. We better figure this out, I think. We better figure out where he's from on all these levels, but ultimately this one. I want to show you the last time somebody asked Jesus where he's from. Do you know where that is? The last time somebody asked Jesus where he's from is in John 19. And I'll end with this. Verse 6. "So when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify, crucify.' Pilate said to them, 'Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him.' The Jews answered him, 'We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself out to be the Son of God.' Therefore, when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid." And by the way, rightly so. I mean, Pilate was afraid for a lot of reasons in this event. His wife had told him she'd had some dreams about him. Pilate's afraid of a lot of things going on. But when he hears the words that he made himself out to be the Son of God, it tells us that Pilate was afraid of that. And by the way, so should everybody be. Now look at his question, verse 9. "And he entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, 'Where are you from?'" Now's your chance, Jesus. Now's your chance, right? You get to say it now. Say it. "Where are you from, Jesus?" And he doesn't say anything. Why not? I mean, maybe he felt like he'd said it enough. I mean, he'd said it enough that the people could say in verse 7 that he made himself out to be the Son of God. They knew that he claimed to be from heaven. That wasn't them guessing. They knew he'd said that. Maybe he'd said it enough. You know what?
Maybe this is the reason. If you're going to wait until you're standing face to face with Jesus to ask where he's from, it may be too late. Pilate was hearing testimony. Pilate was hearing witnesses. Pilate was seeing that this man had no guilt. He was hearing that he was the Son of God. He was witnessing the beauty of the man in front of him. He was hearing the things and seeing the things done by him. And when he asked the question face to face, Jesus doesn't answer. And I'll tell you what, there might be a time for some of us where if we don't deal with it now, we'll stand face to face with him and say, "Where are you from?" And we'll hear nothing, nothing. And I just don't want that to happen for me. So, ask the question and find an answer. And get to know him and do something about it, because like Jesus said, where I'm going, you cannot come unless you know who I am and unless you follow me. And those that follow him, he promised you can come where I am. Thanks for your attention. We're going to sing a song now that will hopefully get you to thinking about whether or not your life with God is right. We'd love to help you with that. If you have needs or prayers that need to be prayed, if you need to make some sort of confession about something you're struggling with that need our help, you need our help. Or if you'd like to become a Christian, we'd love to talk with you about that. Now's the time to come forward and tell us how we can help while we stand and sing.